to INS, the International News Service, your source for the most important weird news from across the globe. With news analyst Kevin Harrison, actor, comedian, and musician Mike Wiebe, and professional commentator Brian Camp. INS, the news you need.
The first half of the second part of the Get to Know Your podcast, but we go ahead and record that. I want to go ahead and get that out of the way and record that first.
So, we're doing the second part first.
No.
Oh, okay,
We're doing the third quarter of the second part second.
Yeah.
We're doing the fourth quarter third, if you're counting the second part as the third part.
So,
well, that's what we did that the first time and it worked. I mean, that's what we need to stick with.
It worked good.
Okay.
It worked real good.
If it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Right.
Right. The entire story of Manimal came out in kind of a.
Yeah, it all made sense.
Yeah. When it all came together, it was brilliant. Brilliant editing.
Well, I don't even have a Get to Know Your podcast this week. I have a segment that it's called. It's called. What about this? You heard about this?
Ooh, very Letterman.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, more Jay Leno, really.
Yeah, well.
It's called, what about this? You heard about this? It's topical, too, so.
Cool.
That's good, too.
We'll be topical in
2 weeks.
Do you
think will it reach a broad enough audience? Or do you think it's too specific?
I think it'll reach all the broads that listen to us.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it'll reach the dudes, too. Think it'll release it'll go to all the broads and it'll go to all the brosis.
Wow.
Is that a play on Brocephus or a play on
that's a good question.
Joseph or a play on Brocephalus?
Brocephalus, which is
I was hoping.
Yeah.
That's the one it was.
That's my brother Joseph's phallus. Brocephalus. You guys, it's 8:45 in the PM and I'm just digging out some sleep out of my eyes that's apparently been there all day.
Good job. Well, you just got up, right?
What is that exactly?
Sleep?
Yeah. Well, one, do you think that's a common term? I know what you're talking about.
Well, mine I know is from the aggressive pink eye that I have.
Okay. And so when you say sleep then, for the listener, you're discussing the crusty discharge in the inner corner of your eye. And sometimes along your eyelids, if you passed out.
Mm-hmm. It's like I think eye semen is what it's called. Ocular semen.
Ocular semen.
When you see something real good looking, when you walk in and you see Brocephalus, you just can't help.
Well, when I see Brocephalus going in, Valerie Linga.
Valerie Harper?
Valerie Harper's... Linga.
So that's, I think, colloquially, at least here, we call that sleep. Is that something, Kevin, that you have heard?
Yeah.
Do they call that Ohio, or do they call it
sleep or sleep sand? Sometimes it was sleep sand. You know, the sandman comes and throws sand in your eyes to put you to sleep.
I'm trying to get tickets to go see the Sandman tomorrow. Adam Sandler, that is. Wow.
Can't you just sneak in like you did with the Rolling Stones?
Oh, yeah, just get some ice.
I might.
Hey, you know the song Mr. Sandman by the Andrews Sisters?
I'm pretty sure everybody knows that song, Brian.
That part,
everyone.
Where it's like two-thirds of the way through. Uh-huh. I think it's one of the best parts of any song ever.
Uh-huh. Metallica?
No. the famous, this is how you know that the era is World War II in a movie song. Mr. Sandman, bring me a dream. But it's, they say, Mr. Sandman, and then a dude's voice come on and says, yes. it's my favorite. It's so good.
Yeah, that's, I like
every
it
time I hear it, I chuckle. Yes.
I like it when there's little call and responses like that.
Mm-hmm.
In that song, it's kind of hard to hear, but in that song, what's that? The Highwaymen, I think the song is called The Highwaymen, where each one of the highwaymen...
The TV show?
Yeah, where Jocko sings the first verse and he goes, "In one of these! In one of these!" And Sam J. Jones goes, "Huh?" No, what's the highwaymen? That's like Johnny Cash, Willie Nelson, Kris Kristofferson, and...
Waylon
Jennings, that's right.
I've never heard of them.
They each have a verse, and the song, and it's all about how they're like a fucking working man in various centuries who like died.
Oh yeah,
they're working on a thing and they died, but they're kind of like there's
a good song.
It's a good song. They're like their soul like carries on or whatever is like the point of the song. But the first line of each verse is them stating their occupation, like
I was a sailor.
And but it's real quiet, but after they say like one was like, "I was a builder," you'll hear like a ching, like somebody like built like a hammer hitting a thing, and like I was a sailor, so you hear like a ship like blah, and each profession has a little noise that they make after they do that. That's what songs are missing now. Is sound totally effects.
Yes.
What sound does your job make, Mike?
My sound, I'll do it right now. This is the sound of my job.
I was a creative consultant. the lost fifth verse of
Yeah.
I was a junior creative at a small sized startup involving VR and AR.
Well, we I mean, well really,
what I,
well,
really what already... I am is my job really though is a truth teller. I take it back. My job is I'm a catcher and releaser of dreams.
So you're sitting over 14-year-old girls' beds all the time.
What?
You know, dream catcher.
You don't have dreams, Kevin?
I don't have
Everyone
a dream catcher.
Has dreams.
I don't have a dream catcher.
I catch them and I release them.
You're just a sport dream catcher.
Well, pretty much. I do tend to mostly go for the dreams that involve nudity. Or the man with the hat.
That's right. That's why you got all the sleep in your eye.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Good callback. I think that counts as a callback.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Welcome to the International News Service. We're your hosts. I'm Kevin Harrison, along with...
I'm Brian Camp.
And I'm Mark Ryan.
I'm catcher and releaser of dreams, Mike Wiebe. And then who's that we have down there? Why, ladies and gentlemen, it's the catcher and releaser of sounds... Producer, editor extraordinaire, Mr. Mark Ryan.
Hey guys, I gotta go.
Hello. No, you said you're gonna double duty to please that booty.
Yeah, that's right. It was your words exactly.
That's words that you used.
Yeah.
It was a binding contract.
A little threatening tone in your voice when you said it too. It was hard for us to figure out what it was exactly, but
I knew what it was. I've had to deal with that before. Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, I'm going to get started now then.
All right.
Okay.
Well,
you can't
Mark.
Leave. No, you can mute yourself, but I want to see the industry happen.
Really? Okay.
This is like it's almost like we have a
what if we need
a surveillance camera
in front to you.
I can't listen to both.
Well, you can watch this.
Well, I just want to watch you work.
Okay.
Well, you know,
this
way
Patreon
we can
that would be good as if it would a video of you editing the podcast.
Oh, that was pretty very sick. Good.
That was a silent me
really
sitting in front.
People really excited to pay their $3 a month to watch Mark edit.
Yeah. Let me sit at the computer here. I'll get it set up so you guys can really see what I'm doing.
Oh wow!
Because we can check in.
Now,
periodically.
If you see all of us simultaneously waving our hands above our head, that is a signal that we have something that desperately needs your involvement.
Right.
Okay.
I think this is a way. This might be the future
this
right
might
here.
Be the way to do it. There's. I like it because for me, this is how I'm seeing how the sow should gets made.
for the listener, Mark has a monitor up with what looks to be several audio waveforms. Is that mm-hmm. is that what I'm seeing on there? And yeah, some sort of track layout.
This one's Kevin.
I barely have anything.
Here's Brian.
Yeah, look.
Yeah, strong. That's a good looking
one. All that's going to get cut out.
Probably.
And then this is Mike.
I'm peeking a number of times.
Yeah, you always
just blowing everything out, right?
I got the mic you told me to get.
I know.
Uh-huh.
It's my fault.
I didn't say that. I just said I got the mic you told me to get. And let me make sure that my...
Well, normally Mike's careful to be just like a real understated...
Your sound is fine, Mike.
His vocal quality just kind of... He likes to sing it below everything else.
I studied theater. I can't help it if I was into... I went to advanced theater school and I got... straight A's too. That's the other thing that people don't even mention. I went to one of the hardest theater schools in America and I got straight A's.
Almost kicked out.
You think they give
for...
fucking A's to people that can't project? The whole class was just projection.
Like, there was a number of famous people that came out of your class. Like, who else was with you that...
Tila Tequila.
You won the first date, perhaps.
Uh-huh. Tila Tequila. Mm-hmm. Let me think. Tila Tequila... There's a guy, he's pretty famous. He's a Screech impersonator. Oh. The guy who played Screech.
Okay.
He's probably been to a party where he was performing at.
Mm-hmm. It's kind of analogous to like the SCTV crew from Canada, except it was in Santa Fe, right?
The
big group of people that came out of that area.
Everybody went on to a lot of success and stardom. I just remember
you told me about some guy in your class who they went around the class asking everybody who their favorite actor was, and when they got to that one guy, he said Colm Meaney.
Colm Meaney was his favorite actor,
the engineer on Star Trek, the Next Generation.
He was also the guy that said that I ruined his childhood by playing the Bud Dwyer suicide tape.
Was that him?
Yeah, it was him.
Oh man,
They'll never forgive me for that. Guess what, motherfucker? I fucking hung out with Colm Meaney at a Comic-Con, and we laughed our ass off at that guy shooting shit out of himself.
I don't think that happened.
Whatever. It was just me, Colm Meaney, Gates McFadden.
Oh, yeah. I've heard the story.
LeVar Burton. Mm-hmm. And then Will Wheaton comes over, because Will Wheaton does those things all the time. He's like, hey, you guys want to go do poppers and watch snuff films? And I said, okay. And they're like, they were playing a bunch of real softcore stuff. And I was like, you guys want to see something fucking crazy? And they're like, I guess so.
And I just whipped out a videotape.
I had a video cassette. I had it on me.
Sure.
And I played it. And if Gates and Colm thought it was hilarious, they laughed their ass. They were like, that motherfucker, Gates McFadden was just like, she was fucking wasted.
So-
she goes, damn. Yeah, bitch.
Well, that does sound like her.
All right, I'm gonna go edit.
Bye, Mark. So this week we've got two news stories that are both AI related, a bonus story for our Patreon listeners, and Mike has a news story for us and Get to Know Your Podcast.
No, it's not Get to Know Your Podcast. This segment is called what is this shit? You heard about this shit? What is this? You heard about this shit?
Is Jay Leno in the room right now?
No, it's just the name of the podcast. Oh. If it sounds like something that he would have on his show, but he wouldn't swear. He knows better than that.
So our first... Oh, wait, Brian, did you have something?
No, I had nothing to add.
You sure? Okay, I don't want to hear another word out of you the rest of the evening.
That's ideal.
So our first story comes to us from the AV Club.
The Alien Visitation Club.
Those are words you could use.
Whitley Strieber is a member.
Well, this could be Whitley Strieber related. We'll see. So the show Seinfeld has been off the air for nearly 25 years. But since mid-December of last
25?
Year.
25? Really?
Yeah. Yeah. In fact, hold on. Like,
no, it hasn't been off the air for 25 years.
Nearly 20. This fall, I think, is 25 years.
That it's been off the air.
It's been off the air. I guess it's been in reruns.
Oh my god, that
Brian, you can talk again. I was just kidding. That was a joke.
I continue to not have something to say. So,
but yeah, I remember the night of the last Seinfeld show because you had a show that night, and you're like, "Oh, it's gonna be early. Nobody's gonna watch Seinfeld." And then I went, and then you showed up. Your whole band showed up late because you were like, "Oh yeah, we watched Seinfeld."
I don't remember that at all.
It's 25 years ago.
I don't know. It was a show at Rubber Gloves. Yeah, it was 25 years ago. What do you remember from 25 years ago?
I remember that one time when I was hanging out with Cole Meany and Gates McFadden.
Oh, no.
And we were watching porn. I don't know. I want that. What? That's crazy, though. At 25 years, that seems like about 8 years too many to me.
Okay.
That's fair. Yeah.
So the show Seinfeld has been off the air for nearly 25 years, or 25 minus 8, which would be 17, in mic time. But since mid-December of last year, new adventures of Jerry, George, Elaine, and Kramer have begun streaming 24 hours a day thanks to AI and a Twitch channel called Nothing Forever. The episodes feature blocky, low-res graphic versions of the Seinfeld characters hanging out in a reconfigured version of Jerry's apartment. But they talk in clipped sentences with monotone, robotic voices. The episodes are also punctuated with a laugh track to emphasize jokes that usually aren't there. And they're interspersed with exterior shots of Jerry's apartment building and with Jerry doing stand-up. One of the co-creators said his collaborators made the show's artwork and laugh track, but, quote, everything else is generative, including dialogue, speech, direction, shot length, scene length, etc. He also said the show's grounding principle was to try to, quote, create a show that can generate entertaining content forever, unquote. Unfortunately, I listened to about 20 minutes while I was trying to type this up, and while it was kind of entertaining, it was only entertaining for its sheer weird absurdity, like George telling Elaine he bought an old game show at a flea market, only for Elaine to ask if she can come over and watch it with her pet rock so her pet rock could show its enthusiasm. Or Jerry asking why the chicken crossed the park before adding that it was to get to the next slide. And before we close up here, I do have an update. Since between the time I wrote this and the time we recorded, Nothing Forever was temporarily disabled on Twitch. It seems that during one of Jerry's stand-up routines, he started making anti-trans and anti-gay jokes, including the statement that he thought all liberals were secretly gay. Then he pointed out that no one left and ended his set. Twitch has a policy against negative comments about both gender identity and sexual orientation, and they put the account into timeout.
Well, I mean, that's his routine, well, right?
That is pretty much Seinfeld.
I just, you know,
who
if it was
are these people?
That was tickling. I enjoy.
It is kind of weird though, because why it would you would think that you would just feed an AI every Seinfeld episode, and that's it, and it would have enough to generate new storylines. Like, why would you do any? I don't know why.
Well, the game show is a lift, right?
That was the thing that actually happened. Like, Kramer bought Merv Griffin's old set and put it up in his house. Also, there was an episode where Elaine had a rock and she would put it in her pantyhose and beat people to death with him.
What?
Mm-hmm.
That should you have
patterned after? I don't think that was the best Sean Penn movie ever made.
Yeah.
What movie was it?
Because it was Bad Boys.
Bad Boys.
Sean Penn, where he puts a bunch of cokes in there, and there's like a whole thing up front where Seinfeld's like, "You ever see that movie, Bad Boys?" And
that's where the BBC got. Where all that comes from?
Why do you kill each other in prison all the time? He killed him with a bunch of coke cans. And then Elaine's like, I think I can do that, Jerry. And she puts a rock and some other rocks
on Elaine.
I think I missed that episode.
and then she swings them around, you know? She takes, okay, so what she does, she takes a bunch of rocks and puts them in each, like, foot of her pantyhose, and then ties them up, and then swings them around, and it's like a fucking bolo boomerang, and it wraps around, and the it hits perfectly around the neck, and each one swings around, and each rock hits... It's the guy. It's the soup Nazi. It hits him on each side of the head, and it kills him. Yeah, and blood comes out of his mouth.
But then the soup Nazi was in the last episode.
It was his brother.
Yeah, it was his brother. The soup Nazi's brother.
I remember that. That was a weird episode. It was funny. But yeah. It was like a kind of an out there one.
Yeah,
I thought.
Oh, Elaine, you killed the soup Nazi. And then Kramer like comes in and is like, oh, we gotta hide the body.
I don't have a lot to say because Mike's impersonations yet again are just it's almost if I look away for a second.
Yeah, it's true.
It freaks me out.
The listener can't see, so they probably do think that we have this is a Seinfeld reunion.
Yeah.
Right.
What is yours?
You know, it's not. I know they're not exactly perfect, but I haven't seen that show in a long time. I didn't. Like
it's been 17 years.
17 years since it's been off the air. There's been no opportunity to see it since it went off the air.
Famously only had 99 episodes.
I am a little fucking blown away that it's been 25 years.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a long time.
It ended, you know?
Yeah, the last episode was May 14th, 1998.
Huh. Okay. Yeah, I mean, I guess it makes sense that it did in the 90s.
But yeah, it's not like we stopped watching it because it was syndicated every night.
I guess that's why it feels like that, because it has never left the air at all.
It's on Netflix now.
Do you want to get really freaked out?
Yeah. Okay, I'm ready.
Wait, do we need to get Gates McFadden and Colin Meaney? Is it that kind of freaked out?
No.
Okay.
But just thinking about how long it's been since stuff. It's been 2023 years since the death of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Well, no, he didn't die in the year zero. He died when he was like 30 or something. He was born in the year zero.
He died in zero. That was what was so weird about it. It was the year zero when he died. He was the first person to die in the year zero.
So it was the year like...
That's in the Bible, man.
Wait, do you think that BC was like a countdown?
No, it's the best comic ever made.
That's a comic strip. Yeah. That's when rocks could talk.
Did the rock talk in BC?
Pretty sure.
Remember, you could ride a rock like it was a unicycle, but it didn't have pedals. It was just a wheel with like a stick through it. You put your feet on the sticks, and you could ride it like a unicycle.
Yeah.
Like Gumby sliding around?
You're going to have to ask a physicist. I don't, you know, that's over my head.
How did the cavemen get around? Did they ride on a rock? How did BC roll around? There weren't any seats. How did he get coffee when he was in his rock car? It's a 1957 Studebaker.
Is that what that show is?
Honestly, I'm going to be honest with you. Uh-huh. I'm going to show a little bit of my real self and go, I've actually never heard Seinfeld talk before. And I'm just guessing. I'm guessing by the things that he says. I heard somebody do a Seinfeld impression once. I've actually never seen the show.
Oh.
That explains your Jack Nicholson as well.
No, Jack Nicholson is I'm pretty well correct about that, Jack. Who's Johnny? I've seen I know all the famous quotes.
Wow.
Where's Johnny? Yeah, man.
Yeah. It's uncanny.
So our next story comes to us from Vice.
Which one?
What the Victorians call the solitary vice, masturbation.
Oh.
My favorite vice, man, is getting a bunch of chicks like Lauren Hutton or...
I feel like you're doing a Dennis Hopper.
Angela Lansbury. Or,
wait, is that Christian Slater?
Or what about Angelica Houston, man?
Really good.
For the listener, I had my hair, I was slicking my hair back.
Okay.
Right. That gets into character. It's effective. It's a good tool. Did you learn that in Santa Fe at your advanced acting academy?
Yeah, I learned that in advanced impressions. You know, guess who taught that class?
Bobby McFerrin.
Gary Busey.
Rich Hall.
I don't think anybody gets that reference anymore.
He also taught a class on Sniglets.
So in 1899, Nikola Tesla detected a repetitive static radio signal, which he believed came from Mars. Ever since, people across the world have been listening for radio signals from space for an indication that extraterrestrial life might exist somewhere in the cosmos. But in the early 1970s... By the early 1970s, NASA was funding research into SETI, or the Search for Extraterrestrial Intelligence, and by 1984, the SETI Institute was created, which, among other things, is a warehouse for data collected from radio signals that are believed to have had an extraterrestrial origin. Now, many of these radio...
Pick me up, Scotty. There's no intelligent life down here.
It's something that Jack Nicholson has never said.
He might, but I think he would have, like, you know? Don't you think so?
Like Witches of Eastwick era?
Just like, he, you know, a bunch of people are fucking being jerk-offs around him, and then he just, like, looks around at him and just, like, looks up to the skies and goes, "Beam me up, Scotty. There's no intelligent life down here." And everybody, like, it's, I don't know. Okay, continue.
All right,
I'm sorry.
So back to these extraterrestrial radio signals. Now, many of them, many of the signals from space actually have an origin on Earth, or are part of natural cosmic phenomena. So the goal is to find what are called technosignatures, which means they are sent with a pattern indicating an extraterrestrial intelligence of some kind. Of course, after decades of listening to the universe, they have found very few convincing indicators of alien intelligence until now. A team of researchers, primarily at the University of Toronto and UC Berkeley, had artificial intelligence analyze SETI data without any specific algorithm designed by humans. In the past, this kind of analysis has relied on algorithms which told computers what to look for so that scientists were ultimately determining what extraterrestrial radio signals might look like without ever actually identifying one. Instead, these researchers asked an AI to identify and then classify what it thinks looks like a signal from an extraterrestrial intelligence. After an analysis of 480 hours, the AI identified 8 signals of interest that it determined had technosignatures indicating alien intelligence. Nevertheless, the researchers said further analysis is necessary to determine these signal to determine whether these signals truly indicate a technosignature and whether they were from space rather than interference from Earth.
So this is another example of, and I think y'all will agree that SETI is an interesting thing and something we've been aware of our whole lives. Certainly if you read any magazine at the Hastings in the magazine aisle, there's an Omni magazine you might pick up and read about SETI, but don't they like every 5 years have to publish something or come out with something to get people interested again and throw some money their way? I mean, isn't this just the pattern of charity peddling that they do?
Well, I was going to say, I like SETI, particularly just to like SETI around and hang out and watch TV.
Right.
With a big old bowl. Big bowl. And watch Close Encounters of the Third Kind.
Waiting for him to come out with number 4.
Let me get this straight, this story. They're saying they haven't figured anything out yet.
They're saying they never worked out anything credible, and now they fed it to an AI, and the AI went, "Wait a minute here, maybe I found aliens.
I just can't figure out what the hands would look like."
Does the article in Vice include some sort of link or way to get more information about SETI that ultimately goes to a SETI donation page or a SETI merchandise shop?
No, it. I mean, you know, I don't think Vice is the, hey, go off our website and look at another website kind of source.
They got it from somewhere. Well, isn't Vice obviously just an AI anyway?
It's all going to fund GoDaddy.com.
Right.
All you guys, websites.
Are you guys following the money? Is that what's happening?
A little bit.
Well, we're doing our own research, so
yeah.
Maybe you should try it. You learned something.
I'm the one research. Who researched
I'm not letting
all this.
You do the research for me.
Well, did you research it? Because you don't even know where Vice got this story. You don't know how SETI's profiting off of this.
It was published mostly by the team from
Big SETI.
From the University of Toronto. And,
this is just Big
SETI
trying to sell you more SETIs.
But it was students.
Did they publish it in People magazine?
No, they published it in a journal.
Well, you can call it a journal, but it's a magazine.
I did pull it up and read part of it.
They put it up in People Journal.
No, they don't publish stories like this in People because they don't involve Christopher Walken and Jack Nicholson.
Hey, man! I'll tell you about aliens, particularly Martians from Mars Attacks. That's he had a deeper voice in Mars Attacks by then.
Mm-hmm. He's in that.
The Martians. You just take the soul of a woman and make it more evil.
Apparently, Mickey Rooney was in that too.
Well, I mean, I don't know. Like, I'm sure there probably is some sort of signal, but I don't know that it's going to be radio waves. It seems like radio waves might be.
Well,
we don't even use radio waves anymore, barely. Right?
No, I mean, like radio waves are like transmissions. So, like, television is sent over radio waves.
Radio transmission.
Right.
So the idea is that this is really that radio waves are really the way you communicate at long distances through the universe because of the way just the universe works in a way that the signal never distorts. Really.
What if there's like a? I feel like. Okay. But if you can...
I'm not even being condescending yet.
If you can bend time and space, like which that's what they're like, we think that they can bend time and space or whatever.
Okay.
I mean, yes. I mean, we call it magic. They call it quantum science.
Uh-huh.
Whatever. You can bend time and space and make wormholes and fucking yada yada.
Right.
Don't you think they're going to use something more sophisticated than fucking like the same shit that I get the Price is Right from?
Well, so you
I just
think
don't think that they're looking for like it'd be like I don't know. I just don't feel like radio waves. If a civilization is advanced enough.
Uh-huh.
To travel literal light years.
Right.
I just don't. I feel like it's gonna be there. That it. I don't know. It's too crude. Too rudimentary. Too.
So think about it this way. They when they were before they got to interspace travel and wormholes and hanging out with Worf in the bar with Guinan. Before all that, they had to have generated. If their civilization created mass communication that was broadcast, it probably would have been broadcast on radio waves, and those waves would transmit through the universe
radio
infinitely.
Transmission.
But we crawled out of the. You know, if our ancestors communicated through like pheromones and stuff like that, like we can't communicate through pheromones anymore. Like we can't like. With so or the way that like lower evolved animals communicate, like we can see that, but we can't like speak that language. Like we can't even speak fucking chimp or like dolphin. We don't even know. We know they're communicating. We can sort of recognize that, but that's only if we're looking for it. Like, you know, this is something that I don't know. Like I just don't think that I feel like aliens would be so advanced that radio waves would be a thing that they're not looking for.
No, the idea is
I'm right and these scientists are wrong is what I'm getting at. And they give them all this fucking money to make a giant satellite. And I can't even get a fucking. I have a PlayStation 5, but like next to no fucking games
for it. I heard
that
in like a week you're getting a PlayStation VR 2.
Supposedly, but I don't have any games for it. Nobody's fucking paying me to get games and play them all day.
And that's what makes it advanced alien civilization.
No, that's what makes SETI full of shit. And me, a righteous A smooth dude.
I think that what you're missing here is that they're not really, they're very rarely broadcasting radio waves intentionally out to alien civilizations. Radio. They're listening for radio waves that might be out there that a civilization would have broadcast when they were at kind of our point of technology. Because it is, again, it is a stepping stone to a lot of the ways you have to use the universe to mass communicate.
I think too, if I could interject briefly, I think radio wave is an umbrella term for any sort of wireless communication. So right. Even our transmission to satellites would fall under the heading of radio wave, and that might be a longer time span of a civilization's advancement, and it might be kind of a natural, but again, that pins us to our idea of the way a civilization would grow technologically, which is to Mike's point. And I think also the bigger point is that every science fiction author I've ever read has taught me that any sufficiently advanced species would suppress its own transmission of radio waves so we can pinpoint their location and destroy them, which is what any advanced species would do, because they would understand that ultimately any being or any race of people, any living organism's ultimate goal is to survive and cultivate as many resources as it can, and everything else is just competition. Can we all agree on that point at least?
I don't know that I agree that that's the point of a civilization.
I mean, if I learned of an alien species, I would immediately start campaigning to destroy them.
What if they were Wookiees?
Absolutely. If I could somehow find their planet and cleanse that planet of Wookiees.
I know you're a happily married man, and I don't mean to impinge on that, but what if they were the sexy green ladies from Star Trek?
No, I would kill them.
Oh. Bold. Well,
yeah. I mean, it's not like they're going to...
To save your
marriage?
That's
the problem with the sexy green ladies, and that's the problem with the way SETI's thinking about radio waves. We're limited. The scope of our vision of what an alien race could be is limited by our own experience. We have no idea, but there will be no emotive connection between us and an alien species. They will be utterly alien to us, and we should destroy them immediately.
Immediately.
You would agree with that.
I would agree that they would be so alien we probably couldn't even communicate with each other.
And therefore, there could be no benefit to their existence. Therefore, we should destroy them.
I think
that if they don't speak English, it's off with their three heads.
Do you realize that most people on Earth don't speak English?
I do.
Yeah, they're coming around, though.
Yeah, but they know... They want to.
I don't know about that.
This might be the most alienating, no pun intended, conversation we've ever had.
I think
punctuated by Mike's very serious English. I guess we're only going to reach people who agree with you. That's.
I really think that there's a chance that anything radio wave related would be so primitive that they would not even recognize that they're not looking for something so dumb and primitive that they would, you know.
You mean like what we broadcast now?
I'm talking about aliens.
Well, they're not looking. We're not really broadcasting to the aliens. They do say, I mean, that
we're
somewhat
doing the best of all that stuff of the primitive of humanity.
Right.
We are its greatest, brightest, boldest, smartest.
Oh no.
But I just think that primitive, like, I mean, and here's the thing, this whole podcast is rebroadcast through the astral plane. It's broadcast through, you know, I do sound bathing techniques to get it onto every chakral plane.
What about the rest of the Rockies? This is a little bit
of a different story. I'm talking about the act of creating these giant fucking satellites and sending out satellite dishes, you know, like they got there in the SETIs, and then sending out satellites into the godforsaken blackness, shooting out, fucking stupid Chuck Berry songs. and
just,
you
broadcast,
know,
my ding-a-ling to the universe to keep everything away. They're too annoying there. We can't possibly go to Earth.
Sending pictures of nude men with four legs and four arms, wavy hair.
We're sending that out?
Yeah.
All right.
We do. You know what I'm talking about? That picture, that famous picture of a guy, and he's got his hands out like the cross, and then his hands up another set of arms going like this. And then there's legs going straight down, and then legs going out. And it looks like that our fucking creatures have four. Like, it looks like if you're sending that out, if I found that,
right,
I would think, like, whoa, it's a planet where people have four arms and four legs.
Would you
and
need
long,
to destroy
long,
that
crazy
planet?
Hair. Nobody's had that fucking haircut on Earth in a thousand years.
Now, would you want to destroy that planet or avoid that planet?
And a completely hairless body, too. Yeah. A hairless chest, his dick. And we send a picture of a guy with a, like, let's send a dude with a big fucking hung dude, you know? They send some picture of some dude with, like, a regular-sized hog.
So you want to send dick pics to the aliens along with your address?
No, let's just send our best and brightest.
Your best and brightest dicks?
Yes.
I like the idea that maybe everything we're sending out is so overwhelming and intimidating that it has been received by alien species, but they just commit mass species-wide suicide out of fear of what we're bringing to the table.
I mean, I think that that's plausible. Like, oh no, they're coming our way.
Well, to Mike's point, four arms, four legs, and
big, medium size. The problem is they're seeing four arms, four legs, medium sized fucking crank.
Yeah.
Mm. What we need to send is four arms, four legs.
Mm-hmm.
Big. I like the big puffy hair, but it's not representative of most males on Earth.
Mm.
Give them a handlebar mustache, a giant crank, and a tattoo. A tattoo with, a Spuds McKenzie tattoo.
The original party dog.
There's a original party animal around
it.
Oh,
animal.
That's what the Little Rascals had, right? Was a Spuds McKenzie dog?
I think so.
With the ring around its eye?
Bull Terrier?
Yeah.
That's right.
That's the dog that got Alfalfa killed.
Yeah,
man, that is
callback.
That's good stuff. That's a good one.
Yeah. You got to listen like 20 episodes ago to know what we're talking about. Oh, so our next story is a bonus story.
A bonus.
If you want to listen to this, go to our Patreon and subscribe at least the $3 level. That's the Knights of Kevin level. And you get access to this and all of our other bonus stories. But I'll give you a little taste here. This.
Hey, Kevin, real quick. People could spend more than that if they didn't want to do the bare minimum, right?
Well, there used to be a lot of other levels, but certain people wouldn't turn in the work that they needed to do, and we had to delist those levels. So there's a $3 level, there's a $1 level, a $3 level, and a $150 level where you get to watch a movie with us.
Mm-hmm. We've only done four of those so far.
Movies?
Yep.
Yeah, they've been very successful.
Anyway, I'll give you a little taste. This next story might possibly be the dumbest lawsuit ever filed in history.
A lost story. That'll get them hooked.
It might be the dumbest thing any human being has ever sued another human being for. So I think it's time for a new segment called Mike.
You heard about this shit? You guys heard about this shit? You know about this shit? You heard about this shit? So I'm glad that we that we had such a related story with aliens this week.
Because
you know, we are, there's a lot of stuff going on in the news right now with UFOs, right? The government has shot down five UFOs at the time of this.
Right.
Five UFOs. There was it started off
as of a week ago.
Who knows how many more have happened in the interim between the creation of this masterwork?
Well, I mean, by the time y'all are hearing that, by the time you're listening to this, we will have actually caught a live alien.
Wow.
And hopefully finding out where they're from and determining how best to exterminate them from the universe.
Yes. But I very randomly worked up a story about a particular, because UFOs are in the zeitgeist. They're in the news right now. Mm-hmm. There's all stuff. It's what's on everyone's lips. Everyone is looking at each other and saying, you heard about this shit? You know about this shit? So I don't know. We'll see if any of these aliens end up being things other than balloons, or if we will capture an alien, if this will be the fourth contact where aliens start. I mean, I do think that at some point we will make contact with them, and they will probably annihilate most people except for me, because they will find me
delicious.
Nope. Charming. I think. And I'll tell you this. So, I'm going to tell you about a guy who has met multiple aliens and has a lot to talk about it. His name is David Huggins. He is, I believe now he's in his 60s, but he's been visited by aliens for years and years. He started getting these visits from extraterrestrials when he was a child. He lives in New Jersey, Hoboken, New Jersey. So at some point, he's a little kid. He's born in 1944, and he was a kid. He was running around searching for arrowheads in nearby fields for fun, and he didn't like going to church. His grandparents took him to, and at some point, all these strange beings that no one else could see started appearing around him, around his farm. He thought he was losing his mind. He's sitting under this tree, and he hears his voice go, "David, behind you." He turns around. And there's this little hairy guy with large glowing eyes coming straight towards him. He thought it was the boogeyman. He didn't know what to think of. And then another day, this insect-like being that reminded him of a praying mantis appeared, and he was terrified. He said, "What in the world am I looking at?" For an 8-year-old, he did not know what to think. The sightings continued, and once the shock wore off, David says his encounters were weird, but not all that threatening. When he left Georgia in the mid 1960s for art school in New York City, the beings followed.
Whoa!
And he started getting nocturnal visits from an alien named Crescent, a female alien.
Sounds good.
Yeah.
Tell us more about Crescent. What you wearing?
When he was 17 years old, he lost his virginity to a female extraterrestrial named Crescent.
No one can check that story.
And this is actually before he left. The coitus in question went down in 1961. Huggins was a teenager. He was still living at home, and at this time, he was in rural Georgia. It wasn't the first time that they'd appeared to him. He talks about we'd seen him since he was 8. But he always thought, you know, he's walking the woods, this alien woman that was, it looks like a classic gray alien. I'll show you guys pictures later. Only with hips and titties. And a brown, it's the classic gray alien. Imagine the cover of Communion, the gray alien head, only with a Betty from Betty and Veronica haircut and kind of droopy titties. And a shaved beef.
Wow.
He saw it. He was scared. He thought if he was going to lose his virginity, it would be like losing it in the backseat of a Ford or something like that. But it didn't work out that way.
Oh.
No. So he was sitting down, and the woman, Crescent, she was behind him. She put her arms around him. And that's about it. I don't know. He says, "I don't know anything else outside of that." He speaks very frankly about all his crowners. It's the thing that set him apart from most of the truthers and UFO enthusiasts. He's not in it for the notoriety. He doesn't care if anyone believes him. But when Huggins talks about fathering hundreds of alien babies, that's another facet of his encounters. He sounds about as even keeled as a farmer explaining crop rotations.
Whoa.
His relationship with Crescent was warm and friendly, a little strange. I mean, what do I mean a little, he says. Very strange. She was my girlfriend, really. A very unconventional relationship, he says. So to deal with his trauma, David started painting all these encounters. That one of the first paintings Huggins ever made was of him and Crescent having sex.
Oh, man.
Painting's not that good. She's on top of me. I reached climax.
Oh, I've seen this painting.
I reached climax. Then she and the alien being that was with her, the insect, they leave the painting. So he's got
alien watching.
It's a giant praying menace that's watching. And these paintings are all over, you know. It's like these surreal, childlike paintings that are dominated by deep blues and greens. He paints all of his encounters. He started in 1987. He was remembering details from the early visits. They just started hitting him like a deluge, and they were triggered by Bud Hopkins' book, The Intruders, which is a alien, you know, it's kind of like Communion. It's a book about things. It almost seemed like he was going crazy from not being able to process these experiences that happened to him. What were they? Why him? It really sounded like he was losing his grip on life and reality. But then apparently he got the message that from the beings that he should start painting the experiences. And as soon as he did that, it started to change him. And it was a release, he says. He was able to sleep for the first time in weeks.
Whoa.
And since then, he's painted every detail of every encounter. 100-something paintings. It's art therapy. I don't know if that's how David would describe it, but that's a big part of why he wanted to show the world. Once he found a way to show everyone, or even just himself, what happened visually through art, it was easier to process, easier to make sense of, and easier to come to peace with whatever had happened to him. So, you know, it's there's a documentary about it called Love and Saucers about, you know, a man who paints himself having sex with aliens. And, you know, you can watch it and then do your own research and come to your own conclusions.
I mean, if it's a good painting, I could buy it. I mean, I could see myself buying it.
It's a good painting. Brian could, you know, come to some conclusions, I think is what he's saying.
Well, yeah.
Well,
the camera's from the shoulders up.
You guys know what I'm talking about.
The truth is out there. And when people ask David Huggins why he thinks the beings appear to him, he says, I have a feeling that tens of millions of people, perhaps hundreds of millions, have had similar experiences, mainly as children. That's all I can really say. But I think that as children, we're so open to things that these beings can appear around us. I know I never closed up on it, but it has continued through my whole life. So I'm going to send, how can I, what's the best way? Can I share screen here?
Generate.
That is.
Can we see that?
Yeah, it's a dirty thing. Oh, Mike's source is also Vice.
Yeah.
Can you make it bigger? Can you enlarge the image?
Which part do you want him to zoom in on, Brian?
I think the obviously the lady painting there.
Is she holding up her own?
I think she's covering herself.
Well, she's covering. No, she's holding her titties.
Yeah.
She's holding her titties, offering them up in a way like, hey, big boy, why don't you come grab one of these jugs?
You think they have jugs in outer space?
Well, and it looks like she's.
Obviously, they do.
It looks like she's done her toes, and she's gone to she got a mani-pedi.
Look how short.
I'm going to focus right here. This right here, guys, you see this?
Uh-huh.
I'm using the cursor to show her vagina.
Uh-huh.
We know what part that is. Thank you.
Okay. But it is a very Betty and Veronica. You normally don't see. So she's got a very just kind of Caucasian body within a bone white gray lady face.
Yeah.
And then a kind of. It's a very rockabilly haircut, is what it is.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. It's like that Betty Page thing.
Yeah.
And she's got really short lower legs and long upper legs.
Yeah.
The proportions are a lot, but that could just be an artist's choice. So I don't want to.
Exactly. There is some artistic license in there. So I guess, you know, the reason it feels like there is some sort of, because I didn't know we were going to dive into such a UFO centric episode. So the fact that I that we are in the middle of a UFO boom, that we have, that we're, our country, America, the United States of America, is being bombarded by extraterrestrial visitations, and that we are fighting for our very lives, that Kevin would have a story about this, and that I would just come upon this hot, sexy alien broad,
right?
With her very, she's got a lot of sternum between her cleavage too.
You really studied this picture.
You have to. Yeah, it's called research. It's called doing your own research. And I've been doing my research on this painting for last couple nights.
Yeah.
And also sometimes when I take breaks at work.
Right.
In the private bathroom. In the one-stop private bathroom.
Wait, do you have a private bathroom at work?
Well, no, there's like, you know, I go next door and there's this one bathroom that you can just, it's a one-stall. It's a one that can lock a door and think
about. Hey, Brian, by the way, you know, Mike's boss listens to this show. He follows us on Twitter.
Oh, okay.
Anyway, go ahead, Mike.
I'm talking, of course, about my side hustle job.
Well, I'm sure he knows. I'm sure there's they have a printed image on from a dot matrix Okidata printer of, it's just funny that in the age of, you mean, it's almost hard not to see pornography on the internet that you have selected this artist drawing as your go-to inspiration.
It's your spank bank.
Because it is.
I'll let you guys look at it again real quick.
Yeah, there's a lot of space there.
It makes a weird
abdomen.
Her positioning reminds me of like when Marvel and DC would have their handbook with all their heroes in it. And they just be
real women have curves, Kevin.
Well, she's an alien. She's not a woman.
What kind of? She's a woman alien.
Touche.
So I'm just saying that we are about to enter a new age, a third age, if you will. We are going to make contact with all kinds of juggies from other galaxies. Get on board, or get on home.
I kept wondering, like, what does that image remind me of? And it looks like, and I'm sure this is something that y'all have experienced in your formative years, at least. There was a magazine called Easy Rider, and there were always like, I remember what they called it. It had some like real crass name for like a section at the end. It was just photos of biker ladies. And normally they were like topless or like, you know, sitting on the back of a big Harley.
It's called Beaver Hunt.
What's that?
Oh, I know what you're talking about.
I think that was actually Hustler had Beaver Hunt.
Beaver Hunt, right.
Yeah.
But it does, the way she is standing and the way she is holding her.
Yeah.
I mean, he could have traced that out of that magazine.
Yeah, that is. Yeah.
It's a little too perfect.
They did a thing in Hustler called Beaver Hunt that was people that would send in their own photos and they would put them in the back. Yeah, the models didn't quite, they had a bit more of that sort of amateurish quality. Yeah.
So this is in kind of a part of what you're saying, Mike, and not necessarily about this guy, but just the age we live in. Maybe, I don't know if you all read this, but it might be the and again, people are going to hear this a week later, but the device or the object that was shot down over, I think, Lake Huron, I think that's the one, or maybe it was somewhere in Alaska, but one of them, I read an article and it at least purported to be quoting pilot transcripts, like, because that's all recorded, right? And then all those planes have cameras on them. And one of the pilots talking, it was whichever one was octagonal, right? Talking about it not having any means, they didn't see any means of its, like, there was no balloon.
Okay.
They didn't understand, like, the pilots were discussing, there were no visible means to determine how it was staying afloat or if it had the ability to move on its own. That's something other than what I think is pretty clear is some sort of Chinese surveillance balloon, which was shot down off the coast of one of the Carolinas.
We already have pictures of that. I do feel like drone technology is pretty wild these days. So who knows with that? Or there's a possibility that this kind of crafts can get just maybe they stay afloat by just the weightlessness of those jugs.
Right. She's not holding them up. She's holding them down.
It is so funny because it is the most, it kind of looks like a trucker lady's body with a rockabilly haircut on top of a gray alien face.
Right.
It's strangely erotic. Anyway.
Mm-hmm. So that wraps up another week of the International News Service. Find us across social media at International News Pod. Email us at internationalnewspod@gmail.com. And this won't open, so I don't know what the next line is. Oh, if anyone asks, tell them your solitary vice is INS. Check out the INS merch store at Redbubble and our Patreon. And don't forget to check out our subreddit at r/INSpod. We'll see you next week.
I love you, Crescent.
Thank you for listening to the International News Service. Don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe to the podcast. INS, the news you need.